Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know what we have to do here? We've got a lot of takes tonight. We have not heard Tucker's take, though. Tucker's take of the night. I was about to pretend I was reading something. Brought to you by...
Everyone would sponsor this.
Maybe one day. Tucker's take brought to you by... Tucker, what do you got for us tonight?
So tomorrow, Joe, is homecoming for my Temple Owls. I'm planning to be there early tomorrow, tailgate before the game.
Who are they playing?
Memphis. They're playing Memphis tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Tigers.
Yeah. Rawr. The Fighting Penny Hardaways.
They're going to be good in basketball.
They're going to be really good in basketball.
This is football.
But one thing that bothers me about tailgates at really any sport, mostly football, is the groups of people that go to games, that go to parking lots, that fill up spots and tailgate, then don't go to the game. Why? What's the point of that? Like, there's nothing really fun about tailgating, right? It's not convenient. The food usually isn't that great. It's just a nice place to hang out before going into the game.
Yeah, it's like a warm-up for the game.
Yeah, I mean, if you're just there to eat or whatever, go to a bar. Stay home. Like, if you're going to cook, like, just stay in your backyard and grill. It's so much more convenient.
So I didn't even know this was a thing. I didn't realize that people actually would go to the tailgate and then go home. That seems insane.
Yeah, it's weird. Or they'll just stay in the parking lot, like, during the game. Or, I mean, now that there's Xfinity Live down there, people will go down there. I've seen the Phillies are opening up, like, Pass and Stowe.
Yes.
During Eagles games to hang out there. Like, it just seems like such a waste. And I'm not a huge fan of crowds and everything. Like, to me, that just doesn't seem like fun.
Yeah, well, you're talking to a guy that is, I am a watch-the-game-at-home guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm just boring, but I like to watch the game on my couch with the TV and hear everything and see everything. So, that's bizarre. All right, so tailgating and then going home is for cowards. That's exactly what it's for. Is the take by Tucker tonight. All right, speaking of takes... You know what we got to do right now? We got to do NFL picks and guess the takes for week 6 in the NFL. All right, we'll start with the NFL picks. You know, we'll get to guess the takes, what you'll be hearing coming up on Monday. Game number one this week. I'm going to go against the popular opinion. The popular opinion is, look, the Chiefs had a bad week last week, and they're going to bounce back in a big way, and Patrick Mahomes will get right, and the Chiefs will get right. There's something off with the Chiefs right now. They are banged up. Patrick Mahomes did not look right last week, and I think the ankle is bothering him more than he's letting on. The Chiefs are letting on. Chris Jones not going to play in this game. Very banged up on the offensive line, and we're not sure if Tyreek Hill is going to be back yet. The Chiefs are vulnerable right now, and Deshaun Watson is not only explaining defenses in press conferences, he is tearing them up on the field. I think this is a good spot for the Texans, getting 4 points. The Chiefs might win this on a field goal late and just find a way to get a win. But I think the Texans are going to put up a lot of points in Arrowhead on Sunday. Game number one, Houston plus the 4 in Kansas City. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Texans go out there and win it outright. Game two. Look, I couldn't ignore this game. This is the saddest football game on the docket, maybe all year, but certainly this week. It is the Washington Redskins, fresh off of firing their head coach, against the Miami Dolphins, who are the worst team you could have in the NFL right now. And sometimes I think we get too, like, what have you done for me lately? Dictates lines and spreads and our opinions way too much, and we forget the big picture. Washington is a bad team. They're poorly run. They're poorly coached now because I think they got rid of a decent coach in Jay Gruden this week. But let's not forget, Washington came to Philadelphia in week one, and they were up 17-0. Through the first half last week against the New England Patriots, that game wasn't a blowout. Like, the Redskins have way, way, way more talent than the Miami Dolphins. And the line in this game is only 3.5. Yeah, I'm going to take the team who just fired the coach. I'm going to take the dysfunctional Redskins to go on the road and beat the Dolphins because the Dolphins are trying to lose. The Redskins just lose by accident. Redskins minus 3.5 over the Dolphins game 2. Game 3... This is just I have a hunch game because a lot of the a lot of the matchups here go to the team I'm not picking. San Francisco is legit. They are 4-0 good. They're blowing teams out. They run the ball exceptionally well. The Rams don't stop the run well. They get after the quarterback well. The Rams don't block opposing pass rushers well. So there's matchups here that really fit the 49ers. But two things. One, I don't think the Niners are going to go 5-0. It's just a weird feeling. Like they're due to lose a game. Two, they're on a short week. The Rams are on a week and a half, basically, since playing on Thursday Night Football a couple weeks ago. And then three, Sean McVay, when he has extra time to prepare, has been unbelievable in his NFL head coaching career. You add those three things together, I just think the Rams need this game. The Niners don't. It's in Los Angeles. I will lay the field goal. I think the Rams are going to find a way to win this game. Rams minus three over the Niners. Texans plus four. Redskins. Yes, the winless Redskins giving 3.5 to Miami. And the Rams giving three to San Francisco. That is those are the NFL picks for week number six. And now I'm going to guess the takes. The takes you're going to be hearing all week long, but starting on Monday, when it comes to the NFL, I'm going to throw Philly's one here as well. Number one, and this goes with my first NFL pick, I think there's going to be a story out there and a feeling and a take on Monday that the Chiefs aren't as good as people thought, that they're vulnerable, that something is wrong, and that maybe Patrick Mahomes isn't able to lift up a defense that is a mess right now. I think the Chiefs could lose the game. If they don't lose it, it could be close, and I think people are going to start wondering about how great the Chiefs are and how much competition they actually are to the New England Patriots in the AFC. Take number two you're going to hear is that next week's Eagles game in Dallas is actually the first must-win of the 2019 season. We said that about Green Bay. We said that about some other games, the Jets game, in fact. But the Dallas game is going to be talked up as a must-win, and it's going to end up truly being a referendum on where Carson Wentz is in his career and the place as a quarterback he is. I think this is going to be a difficult week for Carson Wentz and the offense in Minnesota. Could be a close win, but it will not be an easy win in Minnesota. And next week in Dallas, I'm projecting a Dallas win over the Jets. The Eagles are going to need to go out there and play their best football to go win on the road in Dallas. Must win is the take you're going to hear for the Eagles. And take number three, that will be a big one early next week, is one that's not going to shock anybody, but it's one that I don't think we're ready for. I think we're going to start hearing that nobody wants to take the Phillies job, that the Phillies are viewed around baseball as dysfunctional, that there is major concern about the structure of this front office, that the owner is too involved, that the GM is on his way out, and that the big names like Joe Maddon and Joe Girardi don't even want to give the Phillies an interview, and that maybe this ends up being a lesser name and a lesser group of managerial candidates that we ever could have imagined. Like, I don't know, Phil Nevin and John Gibbons and John Farrell, not the cachet of guys that have won or managed in big markets and won a lot before, outside of Farrell, obviously. But I think the feeling next week and the take that's going to be out there nationally is that the Phillies are an undesirable job, despite having a big payroll, Bryce Harper, and some talented players. So, the Chiefs are vulnerable. Next week is a must-win, the first true must-win for the Eagles, and that nobody actually wants the Phillies' job. Those are the takes you will hear early next week. We have the picks with the takes. On the other side, Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. He joins us usually on a weekly basis, break down the lines, games, spreads for week six now in the NFL. And I'm fascinated to hear what he has to say about the Eagles in Minnesota Sunday at 1 o'clock. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, joins us on the other side on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker behind the glass, John Johnson. The updates right now on the guest line, Steve Fezzik, pregame.com, as we head into week six in the NFL. Steve, how you doing tonight?
I am good. How neat is it that you can actually wager on these games in your great state of Pennsylvania?
It's incredible. This is my routine, Steve, every week. We talk. I check out everything going on with all the handicappers. And then Saturday morning, I sit down and I try to figure out where I'm going each week. And it's fun. Like, it's fun I can do it from home now. It's like it's a totally different thing, but it's awesome.
I know that ferry traffic is up from people that will just go from New York to Jersey to place wagers and take the ferry back.
I can imagine it is. Steve, let's get into it. Let's just start with the Eagles because it is One of the bigger games of the week, and it feels like it should be a 4 o'clock game or a primetime game, but it's a 1 o'clock Sunday. Eagles at Vikings, first trip back there since the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. You know, sometimes, Steve, you see these lines and it's about 3, 3.5, and you say, oh, that's right. And that this feels like a game that should be close. How do you handicap this one?
Well, it's interesting because this line was 3, and it is moving to 3.5. And a big reason is that although the Eagles, I believe, will be the better team in December, right now the Vikings are the better team. And you know all about the Philadelphia injuries, cluster injuries at cornerback, and you're missing some of your playmakers, including Sproles and your number 2 wide receiver. And what's interesting, you said you feel like this should be a later game. It's unfortunate that it isn't, because at pregame, we uncovered that Kirk Cousins is tremendous when he starts a game that starts at 1 o'clock Eastern. Apparently, he blocks out his day in 15-minute increments, and any disruption in his schedule causes him great stress, and he's done terrible in games that don't start 1 o'clock Eastern. So advantage Vikings, and the Vikings, frankly, are just great at home, big home field advantage. I actually bet the Vikings.
Yeah, well, Kirk Cousins is interesting. When he's good, he's good. When he's bad, and I guess 1 o'clock works for him. Steve, let's go to Kansas City, Houston. And look, Kansas City's coming off a rough performance last week. We've never seen Patrick Mahomes not score in the 20s. Last week, they barely moved the football points, and he did not look right. Now Houston's coming in off of a really historic game from Deshaun Watson. It feels like the Chiefs are ripe for the picking if Deshaun could have a big game. Do you think he can, or do you think the Chiefs get right?
I think that Deshaun can have a big game, and I think it's all about the injuries in this game as well. The look-ahead line, in Vegas, you can bet these games a week ahead of time. And the look-ahead line was 8.5, so what in the heck is going on? Well, it's not just that Kansas City looked bad against Indianapolis, who ran all over them. It's the fact that Mahomes, after he got stepped on twice, just was not the same at quarterback. So you got to downgrade Mahomes significantly. Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins is 1 and 2 wide receivers. I don't know if either one's going to be able to go. So we got to be concerned about that. In Kansas City, all kinds of injuries on the D-line. What's the book on Houston? Watson is great. They can't protect him. And that's how Houston loses. You put pressure on him with Kansas City missing bodies on the D-line. I don't think they get that pressure. I think this one is heading into overtime. Either team can win. Houston looks cheap.
Steve, a matchup that we don't get to see very often, and it's interesting at the point of the year it is and the two teams and where it is. Seattle at Cleveland. Seattle has been by far the better team. Cleveland coming off another embarrassing moment on Monday night against San Francisco. But Seattle is 2-0 on the road. They rarely start a year 3-0 or 4-0 on the road. Cleveland back at home. Do you give the Browns a chance here, or does Seattle keep rolling?
Oh, Cleveland doesn't have a chance. Cleveland's going to win.
There we go.
I love your contrarian handicap. I agree completely. Seattle is not good typically on the road. They're not good early in the year. And how much different would we be talking about this game if Greg Zuerlein, typically Mr. Automatic, would have made that field goal for the Rams, and then Seattle would be 3-2. And Cleveland, of course, they got blasted on Monday night, but it was a terrible spot for many reasons I won't go into. But that one game has swung this line. The look-ahead line was Cleveland favored -2. I think it's too much of an overreaction to last week. I would bet Cleveland.
Well, speaking of reactions here, Steve Fezzik, pregame.com with us here. The 49ers are the team we're getting a lot of reaction on because they're undefeated. They had a big game on prime time, and Kyle Shanahan is, well, reminding us how good of a coach he is. Couple things to me stand out in this game. The 49ers run the ball well. Rams don't stop it. 49ers get after the quarterback. Rams have not been protecting Jared Goff well. Yet all that factored in, I feel like the Rams are going to find a way to win this game. What do you make of this game here? San Francisco at L.A.
Yeah, sometimes over a course of a 16-game season, you got to project forward and say, you know, are the Rams really going to go 9-7 and the 49ers going to go 14-2? No, the Niners are going to lose 3 or 4 games, and this is probably one of them. You nailed it. San Francisco, great at running the ball, but their fullback, Jusic, he's out, and their top 3 offensive tackles are all out. So think about this. What does San Francisco do best? Run the ball. They run the ball 57% of the time, more than any team in the NFL. Who's the most important position player? If you're running the ball, probably the fullback. So they're up against it there. I would agree with betting on the Rams. I'll say this. Gurley got reported out, and it did not budge the line one iota. So Gurley's getting paid a whole lot of money. Vegas says he does not matter anymore.
Last one for you, Steve. Monday Night Football. Green Bay is coming off of a big win in Dallas. They reasserted themselves after the Eagles went to Lambeau and beat them. And they're taking on the Lions, and I feel like the week off kind of tampered the all the talk about Detroit, but they've played well. 2-1-1, they came here and won. They played tough against Kansas City. This feels like it could be the moment where people start saying, oh, the Lions are good if they could find a way here. How do you handicap this when it is -4, Green Bay favorite of 4 at home over a pretty decent Lions team?
I am completely against the market, and this will happen sometimes when you're a wise guy. It's not like we're all sitting in a conference puffing on cigars and making decisions about what's the sharp play and what's the square play. I have Green Bay having a 4 for home field advantage. They in Seattle have the biggest home field advantage. So this line at 4 is saying these two teams are equal, which I find to be completely preposterous. Green Bay was supposed to win 9 games to start the season, Detroit 6.5. Now, I get it. Detroit's played better than expected, but so has Green Bay. Detroit beat a Charger team that was completely hurt with injuries, and it took a couple of Chargers touchdowns, callback on penalty, and Eckler fumble on the one-yard line, and Phillip Rivers blowing the game for Detroit to get that win. So, yeah, I get it. They could have won the KC game, but you know what? The Eagles kind of gave that game away with the kickoff return and the like against Detroit. Bottom line is Detroit's going to finish the year 7-8-1. Green Bay's a 10-6 team, and they're the one that's home. I bet Green Bay -4.
There it is. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. Steve, I appreciate you hopping on. We'll do it again soon, and enjoy week 6.
Best of luck to your Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
There we go. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. He actually picked Minnesota in the game. We'll see what happens on Sunday. I do know in the next 4 hours what we're going to know about. We're going to know about what Steve Trevelise thinks about the NFL. And and I would think a lot
tell you all about Minnesota.
a lot of thoughts on what the Phillies did today, Steve. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. Gilio, it's been so long.
It has been long. Well, I'm usually out of here, but I hear you sometimes when I'm there were a couple late Phillies games that I must have got out right before you came in, and I was still driving when the Trevor Lee show started.
The Bill Hicks opening. Right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay,
right.
Now I got him. All right. Oh, you have really made this your own, man. You do sound great.
Well, I'm here all the time. So
that's
I
why
gotta,
it has to be your own, you know?
So what's going on?
Oh, my God. We'll talk about the Phillies, of course. You know,
down the
Middleton. Who's going to want to take this job?
Nobody.
Really? I mean, who's going to? Joe Girardi, all these heavyweights are going to come in. They're going to look at Larry Moe and Curley.
Yep.
And they're going to say, let me get this straight. I report to you, but he can override you at any time. We have no idea what you do over here, the President McFailure. Who's going
to
want this?
It's one thing to have Larry Moe and Curley. It's another thing to have Larry Moe and Curley with dysfunction. You have the owner jumping over the other two. It's. I actually felt bad for Klentak today. I mean, he has no power anymore.
Well, you know, when George did it with the Yankees, he was smart enough to have Gabe Paul there.
Sure.
Who was, you know, a respected baseball man. And these guys are not that.
No, and then at one point he realized, like, Steinbrenner realized he couldn't do it, and he let the baseball people, he picked good ones at that point, Gene Michael in the early 90s, and they built a dynasty. This owner, he doesn't have the right people, he doesn't trust them.
No.
They're not going to win like this. It's not going to work.
No, and the dynamic, like if you go back to that relationship, I interviewed Bob Klapisch, who did Inside the Empire,
yeah,
and the story of Brian Cashman, and how he goes from, you know, being that guy with George into having to, you know, do it the way it's done today, with totally remaking the team without a big checkbook and having to go out and make deals,
right,
and having to go out and get young guys and develop young guys. Big problem here is there's no development. All they can do is try to get the free agents. And even there, they fail because when they needed to get pitching, they didn't get it. And I know you're a fan of Kapler. How much can you possibly blame on Kapler?
Well, I think that came out. The funny part, Steve, is it came out today in the last couple of weeks when 2 weeks ago, everyone was like, yeah, fire Gabe. And they did it. And I think there was that feeling of, oh, this didn't fix the problem.
Like, no.
We saw today what the problem is.
When you heard today, I just couldn't get past the fact that the Septembers were so bad.
Well, they had bad players. There it is,
John.
How about the guy picking the players? All right, Steve, you're coming up. We got a big football weekend, Eagles-Vikings, so I'll be listening for the next 4 hours.
You got it.
There we go.
I'll be talking to you. You'll be the one.
I'll be listening. Steve Trevelyan's coming up next. You guys have a great night on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.